Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Wednesday, January 17th, 2024. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning Five and Change. A little bit of a different show for you today. We are going to welcome in NFL draft expert Dane Brugler from The Athletic. We tend to have him in here a couple times every year to go over the draft cycle. And then if there's a bunch of stuff everyone wants to talk about that's a little more team-related or possibly some recruiting stuff, we can hit that after Dane Boogies or get to it later in the week. But our partner for today, Joy Mode, I think I speak for most men when I say we want to have better sex. And for the sake of our partner, we may need to have better sex. The issue is that over-the-counter erection pills contain unregulated chemicals, suggest unsafe doses, and include the risk of several health problems. That's why we partnered with our friends over at Joy Mode. Whether you're looking to spice up your intimate moments or increase your confidence in the bedroom, Joy Mode makes all natural and science-backed supplements dedicated to helping men perform better across their core functions. Their trademark product, the Sexual Performance Booster, is every man's solution for increased blood flow, firmness, stamina, and performance. It's like a pre-workout, but for sex. All ingredients have been assessed in peer-reviewed journals. All ingredients have been studied and researched in humans. It comes in a palm-sized packet like your favorite electrolyte powder. Simply mix with 6 to 8 ounces of water 45 minutes before sexual activity and watch the magic unfold, literally. Redefine your intimacy and use and go to usejoymode.com for 20% off with the code BUCKNUTS. That's 20% off and free shipping with code BUCKNUTS at usejoymode.com. Ingredients with integrity, Joy Mode. Speaking of integrity, the great Dane Brugler joins us for his, I was trying to figure out, Dane, this is like the fourth or fifth year in a row we've had you on here to preview the draft. Much different experience this time around. I once had 17 names written down that we had to go over. We will not be going over 17 names today. Dane, how are you?
I'm good. Trying to stay warm up here. How are you?
Unable to stay warm. As I told you before the show, my family and I have settled on the term soul-wrenching. Some think it's the coldest it's ever been since we've been here in the last 15 years, but it's been brutal, and thankfully we were working out indoors. Let me ask you a question. I told you we're gonna approach today's show this way. As I said, normally Dane and I literally go over 12 or 13 guys who we think will be drafted, and then three or four guys who are probably going to be free agents. And the show goes for eons. And I promise Dane, it's going to take 30 minutes and it usually takes about 50. I'm probably not going to have a good excuse if we go over the 30-minute mark today, given that the roll call for Ohio State is so much different this time around. So I thought we'd tackle the guys that are going. And then I think the bulk of the show will go over the guys that aren't going. We won't go into as much detail as maybe we would have been, obviously, and where they would have been. But I think people want to know from you what they were actually giving up. And then, you know, we'll go over maybe some of the guys they got in the portal, what you think of them, your early thoughts on them. And, of course, at the end, we will hit on a certain quarterback that's playing in the NFL right now that you may have heard of that's doing quite well. Lo, he's not been out of the university for too long. Dane, first question, Warren, Ohio, correct?
Since I was 3 months old, lived in Warren, Ohio. Spent some time in, went to Mount Union, then after college went down to Texas for 10 years, and then my wife and I moved back to Warren because my parents are here, her parents are here, wanted to raise our family here, put down roots. So, yeah, Northeast Ohio, I'll probably be here the rest of my life, and I'm very happy about that.
Dane is also going to be there because he's got about 100 kids, and so he's not as mobile as the rest of us, and young ones, so he'll enjoy that. And he was – I actually came across Dane – in depth when he was working with the Cowboys. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the Cowboys today, Dane. As you can tell, my eyes are, I've been using that cream you put on to cover your tears afterwards. Just kidding. All right. Let's start at the top with, if he's not the best player that I've seen at Ohio State, he's the best receiver. And that is really a strong statement given where they've been recently and career-wise. Marvin Harrison Jr., take it away.
Yeah, it's just it's really hard to talk about Marvin without sounding too hyperbolic because he's just that good. And what you love about his game is some receivers rely just on the physical gifts, right? Their size, their speed. And he has those things. You know, he's not the, in terms of bulk, he's not the biggest guy, but he's 6'3". You know, he's got length. He's a really good athlete. His agility numbers are going to be great at the combine. He'll run well in the 40, but he's also a really savvy player. He just understands how to set up defensive backs. His route running is outstanding. And then my favorite thing about Marvin Harrison Jr. is what he does at the catch point. He has that unique ability to slow the ball down with his eyes. And that's something that we saw Chris Carter do back in the day in the 90s. We saw Larry Fitzgerald would do that. It's a really rare trait, and I think he does it. And that's just that package of skills, the physical skills, but also the savvy, the instincts that he has, the catch point skills, all of the above. If you're going to like list his weaknesses, you're nitpicking, you know, you're really searching for something. So yeah, he is the favorite to be the first non-quarterback drafted, and it'll be interesting. My 2-round mock draft came out this week, and I had quarterback 1-2, which I think is expected. The Bears at 1, Washington at 2, and then the Patriots at 3, a little bit of wild card. They could obviously go quarterback, but they could also take that first non-quarterback off the board, and Marvin Harrison Jr., that would be a really nice fit for them.
So basically, yeah, the names that everyone knows now, the top seems, and you can obviously contradict this, but the top seems pretty clear. It's Caleb Williams out of USC, Drake May of North Carolina. And I guess the question is whether the team at 3 would like Marvin or Jaden Daniels. Is that what you're seeing? Or
I think it's fair to say Caleb and Drake in whatever order, you know, if they flip-flopped, that's it wouldn't be too much of a surprise. It's such a quarterback-driven league that you don't know, and there's no consensus order with these quarterbacks. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and if there's, say, Washington at 2 prefers Jaden Daniels, you know, I you could understand why based off of the season Jaden Daniels had this year. So we'll see. I think it's fair to say, again, the favorites, Caleb Williams, Drake May, but Jaden Daniels or one of these other quarterbacks, if they snuck into the top 10, it's certainly possible. So, and the Patriots are in a weird situation where there's no more Bill Belichick. We know their head coach, but we don't know, you know, who's really going to be calling the shots on draft weekend. You know, they don't have a de facto general manager, really. So there's some intrigue with the Patriots at 3 and what they might do. But you can't go wrong taking a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr.
I think there's some increased interest here, too, with the Bears, given it's Justin Fields.
Sure.
You may have already said this, but I credit Mike Lombardi for bringing this point up. It's not just a decision of do you want to keep Fields. If you could keep him on and sign him again to the same rookie contract and have him develop right over those 3 years, you'd be fine. But you've got to pay him like a legit starter now. Yeah. So that makes
it's as much a financial decision as is a football decision.
Right. So what do you expect to happen?
You know, we don't know what they're going to do, but I can tell you what the rest of the league thinks they're going to do, and they think they're going to trade Justin Fields. And you can certainly understand why they'd come to that conclusion based off of, I mean, yes, Justin Fields has made strides. He has made improvements. But are you prepared to give him a $100 million contract? That's a tough pill to swallow. And I think a clean break is good for everybody. You know, I mean, Justin's obviously, it's not the end of his career. There's plenty of interest. Falcons, the Raiders, the Broncos. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could use a quarterback like Justin Fields. And so, you know, if you're the Bears, you love to see Justin play better and better down the stretch in December. Helps the trade market for him. But I think it makes sense for them just, and if you're Ryan Poles, general manager, you didn't draft Justin Fields. You might never, this might be your last draft of general manager. You don't know. So you're going to draft your guy. And I think that's why the overwhelming favorite scenario is, or most likely scenario is quarterback at one, the Bears trade Justin Fields for, my guess would be multiple day two picks.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting though, because as good as Caleb is, every quarterback goes through some growing pains. I mean, sure, within reason. We'll get to the one who somehow doesn't. But when he's going through those growing pains, if at that same time Justin is playing well in another spot, that's going to be a tough deal for that general manager. So sure, it's really a challenging situation for them. And the Bears haven't traditionally, I don't think, handled these situations with a deft touch. So we shall see. But it's interesting. Other Buckeyes, Cade Stover has not made anything official. I'm assuming he's leaving. He's been a really interesting player here in that in high school he was kind of more of a defensive player, kind of a put him out at like hybrid middle linebacker safety and just have him just destroy people, which was, by the way, a fun watch for anyone who likes to go back and look at old videos. It's unbelievable. And then he played some linebacker here and played pretty well, played some stand-up defensive end, settled in at tight end, and he was a really clutch player for them this year. He was banged up a lot of the year, and you can even tell if you watch him, there are some plays where he's trying to pick himself up off the turf after the snap. Mm-hmm. And he's an extremely tough human being. The nickname Farmer Gronk, I think, is one of the better ones. But I'm certain he's going to be a pro football player. I don't know where. And I mean, I'd like him. One of the ways I do this is I would like him on my team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I was in Columbus for the Maryland game this past fall. And he was a big part of, because that was a tough game. Ohio State couldn't get anything going offensively in the first half. You know, it felt like if they just throw it up to Marvin Harrison and hope something would happen. And then Kyle McCord was able to do some stuff with Cade Stover. And it seemed like that was a repeatable pattern this year with Stovers. When you needed someone to maybe get the offense going, when, you know, defenses are bracketing Marvin Harrison Jr., go to the tight end, go to Stover. And yeah, he is just a really solid player all around. Smooth athlete. He had a grand total of zero drops this year. So outstanding hands. And he secures through contact. It's not just the hands, it's the ability to take the physicality that he plays with to take hits, maintain his focus. As a blocker, it's definitely up and down. There are times where, you know, I could show clips where, hey, you know, he did his assignment, understood what he needed to do, got it done. Another where, especially out in space, where it's you're not quite sure if he's going to finish the mission. But he is from all aspects of the game, special teams, what he's asked to do on offense, whether it's in line, whether it's in the slot, he is a really solid player, coordinated athlete, tough, like you mentioned. I think the versatility is valuable here. I don't know that he's going to maybe test like you like for teams want in a potential top 100 tight end, but if he doesn't go, you know, late third, I think somewhere early day three makes a lot of sense for him.
And that's where the tight ends go. I mentioned my Cowboys fandom. That's where they got Jake Ferguson, who, by the way, was the best player on the team in the game. They're kind of similar, I think, in some ways. Jake had the advantage of being kind of the main guy in the Wisconsin offense, almost like you get in Iowa. But I'll say this about Cade Stover. Maybe his body is somewhat of a risk because he's been injured. his football character and his toughness and his contribution to the locker room is literally number – there is no risk whatsoever with that. He's going to be one of the toughest guys in the locker room. We often – we have this joke, Dave, and I like to ask people, like, if there was a brawl in the locker room, who walked out?
Yeah.
And, you know, he and Tommy Eichenberg were roommates, and we thought those two would get back-to-back and fight their way out. By the way, best – answer of the year, we asked Brian Hartline who would emerge, and Brian Hartline's answer was me. Let you know why my guy can recruit. A little bit of an out there. Okay, the other two guys who are going to be draft eligible that we need to hear about are Mike Hall Jr., who is really the one guy who had a choice and is boogieing, has some family stuff to handle, and has one point in time been really highly thought of. And then Matthew Jones, offensive lineman, who's been here for a while. Could you give us your thoughts on both those dudes?
Yeah, Hall will be really interesting because he's so young. He doesn't turn 21 until June. So this is a young, young player. The flashes get you excited, but it's just the down-to-down consistency. And some of that is injury-related. He's missed time each of the last 2 years. But you think about if you're going to draft an undersized defensive tackle, he better be a proven disruptor. And again, the flashes tell you that Hall can do it, but in his career at Ohio State, he had a grand total of 10 tackles for loss. That should be one season for a player that you're going to consider taking in, you know, the first two rounds. So I think the lack of size, the lack of a proven resume, those things are going to hurt him through the process. But he is a type of guy that you want to invest in if you're, you know, third round, fourth round. You know, it's probably going to be, you know, you worry about as a rookie what he's going to provide for you. You worry about just can he hold up over the longevity of the contract. But the flashes, if you use him as a rotational player, I think Michael Hall could be a really nice piece to what you're doing on defense. So didn't quite have that junior year or the redshirt sophomore year we thought he would this past year. So it was a little surprising to see him declare so early. I know he had a son in September, I believe. So he's, you know, there's a lot to like about Hall and the talent, but as a proven NFL commodity or a proven football player, it's just there's some question marks. So I think he'll somewhere in between the third, fourth round range, probably where he'll come off the board. But he's an interesting one. Who's the other one you asked about?
Matthew Jones, guard.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, he came back and I thought he played better this year. Now, I don't know that because he was a PFA coming over the summer, priority free agent type of grade. I thought he played better this year, showed a little bit of versatility moving around, better consistency. There's no question about that. Was it enough to get him drafted? Not convinced about that. I do think that he helped himself. I do think he's got a good chance to, you know, if he doesn't get drafted, he'll be one of the first calls as a free agent because, like, you know what you're getting with him.
Sure.
He's a good guy to have in your training camp, but I don't know that he did enough this year to actually hear his name called on draft weekend.
I think I agree with you there. But if anything, the portal has shown us and the evolution of football, I've got some nerdy thoughts on linebackers, but offensive linemen are becoming more and more scarce. It seems to be the hardest group to keep together. It's so important, man. It's just so important. And I'm probably geeked about it a little more here at Ohio State just because I think it's the last thing that they need in terms of next year to, like, make it to, you know, even more Sega levels than they have now. I say Sega because I'm old. I mean, like, PlayStation. You probably even know the latest.
I played Sonic growing up. Yeah, sure.
So, all right, now let's get into this. Dane and I do communicate now and then during other times, and I was starting sending him stuff like, I think this guy's coming back, and you're like, no, he's not. I'm like, he might, dude. And it got to the point where I stopped sending him because it sounded like a broken record, and it was getting silly because this just does not happen. At Ohio State, even where, I mean, look, you come to Ohio State to go to the NFL. Most of the guys that come to Ohio State, I say this routinely, are the best player in the history of their town. And this is one of those places where we give the next 3 or 4 years when we commit publicly, because we're not looking to be here for 4 years. And when they say 3 or 4, they mean 3. That said, we've never seen this happen before. Maybe ever, anywhere. You could put this in context, because just listen to the names. And JT Tuimolo, Emeka Egbuka, Denzel Burke, Tyreek Williams, Trayvon Henderson, Jack Sawyer, Donovan Jackson, Lathan Ransom, Jordan Hancock, all could have been drafted.
Early.
And are drafted all early, coming yeah. back. If you obviously you're not going to break down each one in total detail, but if you could give like a general round for each, where you thought they were going to go, and maybe general shock value on the whole, and then individually, and kind of just what you think of this whole thing.
Yeah, it was a big surprise, and you know, I credit to the collective and Ohio State for being able to keep these guys. I think part of it is some of these guys maybe didn't have the season they wanted, and that plays a part in this too. You know, if you're Emeka Egbuka and you're coming off the injury, you didn't have the 2023 you wanted. So going back, staying healthy, that's as much a part of this as anything to help your, you know, because this is a, like I said, I came out with my 2-round mock draft on The Athletic this week. I had 11 receivers in there. So there's a lot of receivers drafted early every single year. And if you're Egbuka, you know, the chance to come out with a better season makes sense for him. Now, if I, you know, redid that 2-round mock, included all these Ohio State players, Egbuka would have been in there. Probably somewhere in that mid-second round. I think he's, you know, a top 50 type of player. Even coming off a not so great season because of the injury, Trayvon Henderson. I thought once Quinshon Judkins, once that transfer was announced, I just in the back of my mind was thinking, oh, okay, well, Trayvon's going pro, makes sense. He could be the first running back drafted. This is not a great running back class. I don't think we're gonna have a running back drafted top 50 this year. Maybe not even the top 2 rounds. So Henderson coming out, being a running back, playing that position, especially in this class, made a ton of sense. But he decides to go back, and you love the versatility that he offers. You know, he is what he can do in the passing game, what he does just anytime the ball's in his hands. It's just a lot of fun to watch. He's built low to the ground, grinds through contact. He's got wiggle. And then once he gets in the open field, good luck catching him. So hopefully we see another healthy season from Trayvon. He was a borderline, might have made my 2-round mock. Like I said, he was in the mix for running back 1 in this class.
Time out real quick. Have you ever thought about Judkins? Because to me, I had envisioned Judkins on one of my teams, and it was the Cowboys.
Well, he wasn't draft eligible, so I didn't do any deep dives on him yet. But yeah, you can't watch that Ole Miss offense without, you know, your eyes drawing to him, because he runs so dang hard, so dang physical, and he's an athletic guy. He's not just a hammer. He's a hammer with some juice. And so those two guys in the same backfield kind of seems unfair. Hopefully we see both of them healthy throughout the season, because it'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Couldn't you see them being 1 and 2 next year in the draft?
Sure. I mean, I haven't done enough work. Yeah, I haven't done enough work on the running back class next year, but both these guys have the talent to be drafted top 60 guys. No question about it. So that could absolutely be two of the first 2 or 3 running backs drafted, no doubt.
Denzel Burke?
Burke would have definitely made it in there. You know, he's with the athleticism that he plays with, the toughness that he plays with. He's sometimes when his back is to the ball, that's where you worry in terms of understanding when the throw is coming, making a play on the ball, consistency, because he loves to fly downhill and he'll try to hit you. Sometimes he's just out of control when he does it. And so just being a little more controlled as a run defender. So things he can work on. But yeah, he would have made my mock draft for either late 1, early 2. He's that type of probably could have said the same thing about JT. I think he would have been somewhere late 1, early 2. I know he doesn't have the sack production that, you know, people expected out of him. But the motor runs hot. He plays with low hips. He understands how to angle his body, win with leverage, win with heavy hands. He's just needs to be more consistent finishing in the backfield. Too many missed tackles in the backfield once he gets that initial pressure. Some of his counters need some work. But, you know, he's a guy that is got plenty of, even though he didn't get the sack, plenty of his reps affected the quarterback and affected what the backfield action was. So even though the sack numbers aren't amazing, he's still an impact player. And same thing with, you know, Jack Sawyer. He's a really interesting player because he's not maybe as bendy as, you know, you want from an edge rusher, but he's always in chase mode. He's got strong hands. He can finish. He creates movement at contact. There's just a lot of things to like about him as being a rock solid player. Again, maybe not someone that's going to light the world on fire with 10 sacks, but snap in, snap out. You know what you're getting from him. And so another guy that, you know, has some areas he can improve just in terms of setting the edge and holding contain, setting up his move so he understands, okay, if I do this on this play, the next play I can set him up with this. I mean, just all, it's a mind game, and getting better and better with another year under his belt, I think will be big for Jack Sawyer. So those two guys, and then throw Tyleek Williams in there too. He was maybe the biggest riser of this group with what he did this season. And it doesn't matter versus the run, versus the pass. He plays a lot of snaps. And in the fourth quarter, he's still making plays. He'll split double teams. The run awareness was really impressive. That's what really stood out to me. Not only the physical ability to stack, detach, make a stop, he understands where the play design is. He understands his keys. He understands, okay, what angles do I need win the block, win the angle, and then, you know, affect the ball carrier. So Tyleek Williams, big riser this year. That defensive line, returning three of those guys up front, that's if you're a Buckeyes fan, that's pretty exciting.
Definitely the most improved player on the team this year on defense was Tyleek. Got himself into real shape. I heard one of your podcasts when the Bears traded their pick to the Commanders for Montez Sweat. That slot, you had Jack Sawyer in that slot and compared it to this trade. So these are some highly regarded dudes here. Definitely. So let's finish off with Donovan Jackson, Lathan Ransom, and Jordan Hancock. Donovan Jackson's a guy, I think, coming off, the tackles, Paris Johnson and DeJuan Jones the year before, I think there were high hopes that he was going to be like the next one. He didn't have a great year.
He's an explosive guy. Like, I mean, you see the talent. The tools are there. He's really athletic, smooth on pulls, can get to the second level, engage linebackers. Where he needs to improve is just the details of the position, resetting his eyes so he can handle delayed blitzes or stunts, playing better with his hands, resetting so he can sustain, understanding what counter maneuvers defenders are going to throw at him, repositioning his feet and recovering. So it's just all these little things that he has the ability. Now it's a matter of refining your technique and playing the mental game so you're not surprised by what's coming at you. So Donovan Jackson, I'm glad he went back because he needed it. No guarantee he would have been drafted top 100. Maybe he would have because he's just so raw just so talented, even though he's raw. But I'm glad he went back because he can get a lot better and really help himself, not just in his draft standing, but going to the NFL. The NFL is not a developmental league. He has a chance to go to the NFL much more prepared, which can help him long term. So that was a good move. Ransom, I liked Ransom coming into the year, and I think he probably would be in this draft class if not for that injury. So, for next year, it's all about getting healthy and getting back on the field. And, he's another guy. When I was on the sideline for that Maryland game, he made a few big plays in that game. I think he had an interception. You see him fly around the field, and you see the range, you see the closing speed. So for him, it's just about helping that consistency, staying healthy. So eager to see him next year. And then Hancock, yeah, he was. I think Burke gets all the attention, and I at one point I wasn't even looking at him because Hancock because I thought he was a true sophomore, but actually a redshirt sophomore. I'm like, oh, I need to catch up on him. And he's a really talented guy. I don't know. I think right now he's probably fourth round-ish, but the way he played down the stretch, I think he's trending up. He is. Yeah, and you see it coming together for him. So if that continues next year, we'll be talking about a top 100 guy and a player that's on the rise.
I don't know how to quantify this. He finds the ball. Does that make sense? There's some guys who just have kind of that knack. I don't know if it's instinct or in basketball, it's like those guards who get offensive rebounds. They just have this feel where the ball is going to go. Hancock is a very instinctual player back there. He added some bulk, and I think that really helped him. Versatile as well. The guy I should have asked about, and I didn't, both linebackers, Tommy Eichenberg and Steel Chambers.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Yeah, Eichenberg, obviously, I think he's the better prospect of the two. Coming off some injuries this year, he's banged up, but that just, I think, speaks to his toughness that he was able to play in some of these games when he probably shouldn't have. Highly instinctive. You love the discipline with his eyes, with his fits. The physicality speaks for itself. The way he can use his hands, work off of offensive linemen, strong wrap tackler, drives through contact. Not the most vocal guy, but man, he's intense. And that's something that, the scouts talk about with him. We'll see how he tests. That'll be interesting. I don't think he's not a playmaker in coverage. I think he has enough athleticism where he can drop and, be someone that is not going to embarrass himself in zone coverage. But I just didn't see him find the ball quick enough when, he was asked to play with some of those coverage responsibilities. So I think he's probably in that third round range as long as he tests okay and the injuries are okay. Chambers, he's a little bit further down. I mean, I think he'll get drafted, but probably late. He played a lot of football for the Buckeyes. He's obviously an athlete, former running back. Some of the stuff on his tape is inconsistent with, kind of the opposite of Eichenberg in terms of working off blocks and some of the run fits. But with his athleticism, with the way he plays, that play personality, I think he'll at worst be a special teamer and a guy that, is going to compete for defensive snaps while he's playing on special teams.
I was just going to say that Steel Chambers and Tommy Eichenberg also, and I'm not trying to first class human. Steel Chambers is the dude. I mean, he's got a lot going for him as a human being. And I'm glad you said that. He's the kind of guy that will go and be a core special teamer. Linebackers are very valuable now for special teams because they can play on every unit. So, and he's a smart guy. He's had leadership, comes from a place where he's expected to win every week. He, to me, is almost, if he was in Dallas covering kicks, I wouldn't mind that too bad. All right.
One other guy I wanted to mention is Josh Proctor, who I think he's going to get drafted on day three. A six-year senior, obviously had quite the career up and downs in Columbus. But the way he played this year, again, referencing that Maryland game, he was a huge part of that win. Long player. He's an impressive athlete. He's not a perfect player by any means with, he's out of control at times. He's improved as a tackler, some of the rap stuff. But, he's a guy that has tools. And even though he's an older player, the athletic plays, he had a pick six in that Maryland game. The speed versus the run where he can play single high and make plays outside the numbers. He makes athletic plays, and that's something that will translate to the next level. So we'll see if he can hold up physically, but he's at least going to get that chance.
Excellent point. And if you could make a nice highlight video of Proctor, because when he gets mm-hmm. there and it's all squared up, he makes a legit impact. I mean, he's a fumble forcing kind of guy. I keep talking about the Cowboys. I don't think physically he can hold up to playing like a Donovan Wilson type, right. but he is like that. And then he's just a nut. You know what I'm saying? He's coming for you.
You need that on special teams too. So he's another guy that could make a living on special teams while, you know, being a solid backup and a guy that, you know, a third safety, fourth safety on a roster. Yeah, that's definitely a possible trajectory for Josh Proctor.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Ohio State transfer quarterback Will Howard from Kansas State was considering possibly entering the NFL.
Yeah.
Had you taken a look at him at all? Can you give anybody a vibe on what they're getting?
Yeah, no, I did, and it goes back to last summer when I was talking with a scout about these quarterbacks, and he told me I had not looked at him at that point. He told me, make sure you check out Kansas State, number 18, because he's a guy. He's a guy we'll be talking about, and you see the tools. Good size athlete. The way he can use his legs to bail him out, that's something that is a big difference from the quarterback play Ohio State had this past season. He's tough. He'll look down the gun barrel, fire passes. And when we talk about mobility for quarterbacks, it's not just the ability to tuck and run and, get the first down. It's the pocket mobility. That's something that I think, watching the Missouri tape this year, watch Will Howard with the pocket mobility. So he can buy himself those extra half seconds. And that's the difference between a guy coming open and a sack, or, being able to not convert the third down or moving the sticks. Will Howard has that ability. And so I'm very excited to see him with, Kansas State's a nice program, but the talent he's going to have around him in Columbus this year can really help those tools blossom. And so I'm excited to see Will Howard. He can absolutely be a top 100 type of guy if, all this comes to fruition and the talent that he has is able to shine with the talent around him at Ohio State. So I cannot wait to see how he performs with he's with the receivers, with the running backs. Not a ton's going to be on him. It's just when, there's going to be a third and eight and he needs to make a play, can he do it? Can he step up? And so that'll be the key for him. But it's going to be fun to watch him in these new surroundings.
Jeff Massarella, one of our best. Will Howard arm strength, your thoughts?
It's certainly good enough. I don't – it's not going to be Matthew Stafford,
but he can throw it.
No, he's just fine. And
he's a big dude. He looks to be legitimately like 6'4", 6'5".
Yes. I think, let me look at my notes if I have an exact,
but that's 6'3", 6'5" is kind of nebulous height that people say. 6'5" to me looks different. He's a big dude.
Oh, sure. Oh yeah. No, he is. And he's well built. Okay, so yeah, last spring he was 6'0", 4'0", so 6'4", even 244 pounds. That's a big boy. That is a big guy who.
Mm-hmm. That's barefoot, isn't it?
Probably. When scouts measure guys, they always do it barefoot or in socks. But whenever watching Ohio State this year and then watching Ohio State with a Will Howard-led offense, that's the big difference, is the stature and the mobility of the quarterback. It's just going to be something that we didn't see from Kyle McCord this past year, which wasn't really part of his game. But the amount of things that it'll help open up the offense, that's something that is, if you're an Ohio State fan, reason to be excited.
It's inevitable, too, with the way we do things, that he's going to get to Josh Allen comparisons. It's just inevitable with the way things are going. And I know that's preposterous because I was trying to explain Josh Allen to somebody, and here's what I came up with. You know when you went to play football with your friends at the park and everyone was in the fifth grade, and then one guy brought his eighth grade brother with him, and you're like, dude, this isn't fair. He can throw. He's faster than everybody. He's stronger. We're all afraid to tackle him. That's not fair.
Right.
That's Josh Allen, except it's the NFL. Okay, now, Dane, this is what I wanted to ask you. This is not an ambush. This is a question about your vision of quarterbacks. You had Bryce Young rated ahead of C.J. Stroud. Most people did, not in Columbus. Now, me personally, There's a reason it's called Bucknuts. Okay. I never understood it. Simply for size reasons. It never got past that for me.
Sure.
The beginning of the year, I go with the argument, Carolina has a bad supporting cast, yada, yada. But it's not like CJ went to the 49ers, okay? He went to a first-year coach with, I don't think, what had a great reputation for an offensive line. I mean, he turned Tank Dell and Nico Collins into legitimate dudes. Tank Dell is hurt. They still seem to keep going. I've never seen Brevin Jordan make a play that good in my entire life. Was it – this is your job. And you pick. I imagine everyone is having to take a step back here and say, was it a miss? Was it – he didn't do things that – it's just incredible because he's – now he is – it's not realistic to have predicted he would do this, even if you thought he was the greatest quarterback ever. Just where are you at with this? Because I'm sure you're a very introspective guy, and you want to be right. And I imagine Carolina is bumming right now, man, bumming. And it's not that Bryce is not a potentially good player. It's that you pass on a generational quarterback. What's your vibe on the whole thing? I went too long on that, but go ahead.
No, I would love to see, and I go back to, you know, like Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes went to the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky goes to the Chiefs, where are we now? How do we think of those two quarterbacks now if those two situations are different? Because situation matters so much. And the Panthers are just an impossible situation. Now, that's not, I mean, obviously CJ Stroud, with the way he's played this year, you could argue he's a top seven quarterback in the NFL right now.
Who would you trade him for straight up right now?
I mean, I think the top three quarterbacks are who? What? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. You know, I mean, those are the top three quarterbacks right now.
Well, time out. Serious question. If the Chiefs called you today and said, we'll trade you straight up Stroud for Mahomes, would you do it?
I mean, I don't. That's,
the fact that you even hesitate is even the point.
The fact that, you know, we're talking about rookie contract and things like that, like, yeah, that plays a part.
Value.
But no, that sure. And that speaks to just how special of a season CJ Stroud is having. Not had, because they're still in this, is having. And it's not like I didn't like CJ Stroud as a prospect, but he was, I think, my number three overall player. I mean, I had a big grade on CJ Stroud.
You were high on him, higher than most.
Yeah. The rhythm that he plays with, no matter the situation, you know, whether he's feeling pressure or not, he finds his rhythm just so easily, finds that balance. And then the accuracy, the poise, that's stuff that you just, it's, you can't teach. And the fact that he has that in the NFL, feeling the heat, is so, so impressive. Now, if you swap places with Bryce Young, what would it look like? I honestly don't know. And it speaks more to the situation in Carolina and how much of a train wreck it is. But no, all the credit to CJ Stroud and what he has done this year. He is a special, special player. And yeah, I don't think any of us expected, nobody expected this level of him this quickly. But yeah, I mean, I really liked him as a prospect. That Georgia game really, I mean, I liked him going into that Georgia game, but what he did against Georgia in that college football playoff game was like, okay, yeah, this guy, he's going to be an NFL starter, for a high level NFL starter for a long, long time. I love his floor. I thought his ceiling was kind of contingent on how much he was going to tap into the athleticism and moving around, and that, because we just didn't see him do that a lot at Ohio State, but he did it a lot more against that Georgia defense and just picked him apart, and so that helped erase some of the concerns. And so that Georgia tape really erased some of the concerns that we had with CJ Stroud, and all the credit to him that what he's been doing. If you're a Texans fan, man, how excited are you that you got your guy for the foreseeable future? And yeah, and I mean, we'll see, you know, the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, how long he's going to be there. Does he get a head coaching job because of this? It's a good time to be a Houston Texans a fan. And you know what? A year ago, it just felt like the total opposite. And so that's what a legit quarterback can do for your franchise, like CJ Stroud.
It makes the water taste better. That's what someone told me.
Yeah.
A great quarterback makes the water taste better. It just does. It just changes the entire trajectory of your franchise. Mm-hmm. It's just the crown jewel. And then when you take into account, he's just a good dude, kind of a mild mannered guy. You know, he's not a risk. This is not accurate, Jeff. So I'm going to let him. Can Dane speak to why the? Oh, I thought you said Dane in particular. I apologize. Can Dane speak to why the NFL loves combine results so much more than football results? I don't think that's accurate. I think if you watch the combine, which has become a spectacle, and I'm thankful for that, I love it. They go out of their way to tell you that it's the game tape that matters. But I also think that with the marketing of the combine, it's certainly taken on a larger, you know, overall like vibe to it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, sure. It's you know, if the NFL can sell it, they're going to sell it. Overall, the combine to me, it's important because to me, it's a cross-checking exercise. When I'm watching tape, I'm looking for traits. I'm looking for guys that run fast. I'm looking for guys that have length. And these are all things that we see at the combine. They're just verified. You know, we put a number next to it. So, you know, when combine time comes around, if a guy runs faster or slower than we expected based off the game tape, well, then we're going back to the game tape to figure out why. What did we miss? And so the combine is a tool to kind of verify what we saw on tape. And if it doesn't match up, then, you know, you have to figure out why. That's the job of a scout. And, you know, it's more of a cross-checking exercise than anything, even though 40-yard dashes and all that gets the headline. But for teams, grades are mostly done at that point. It's just they use the combine as a verification that, okay, yeah, we thought this guy was fast. He ran fast. We're not going to all of a sudden bump him up even more because he ran fast. We already knew that. So it's just more of a verification than anything.
Keep in mind, people, not every football player is utilized correctly in college either. So, I mean,
that too, sure.
You know, you get them out there, you get to see them do some different things, and they're not drafting all first round draft picks. They're looking for people to fill out their entire roster. So, just traits in general. And Dane will tell you this. The most important thing at the combine, from what I've been told, is the medicals.
Medicals.
And yep. The reason they have it there is so they get all the doctors in one spot. I think they have like a pool doctor that does some stuff.
That's why combine was created.
Number one thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sure. The combine was created for the medicals. So they could have one central place to get all these medicals. Every team, all 32 teams, bring a doctor, have their head training staff, and they will look at every single player and have a medical report on them. So, and that's something that they'll be accessing in 4 years in free agency when they're talking about maybe signing a player. What was his combine medicals like and this and that? So it's definitely a vital, and then also the interviews, sitting down with these guys one-on-one, putting quarterbacks on the whiteboard, understanding them from a personal standpoint, from a psyche standpoint. That's definitely a big part a big step in the process.
He is the best there is in the business. Didn't have to do as much intense research for us today. I have a feeling next draft cycle, though, we're going to have to go 2 hours.
Yeah.
I still almost
no
kept
kidding.
You for 50 anyway. But all right, last question. I have to sneak in here. Shocker. HE4 Buckeye, what are Dane's thoughts regarding Justin Fields' performance with the Bears? We talked about this earlier. Dane, finish it with your vibes on how things are going to work out again with Justin.
I think he's played better. And if you're a team looking for a quarterback, that's encouraging, and you're going to make an offer because I think the Bears are going to trade him. I think that this is a chance to reset the quarterback clock. If you're the Bears, draft your guy. I will be surprised if Justin Fields is still their quarterback, 4 months from now. So we'll see how it plays out. There's a lot of things, you know, they're going to hire an offensive coordinator here. When you have the number one overall pick, you have options. And so you listen to all your options, you lay them out, then you make an informed decision. But I think the rest of the league believes that Justin Fields will be traded and the quarterback will be number one to the Bears.
Long way to go. Caleb Williams is pulling the old Manning trick here, I think, trying to get out ahead and not go to the Bears. We will see how that works out. We are just greatly appreciative that Dane gives us as much time as he has. He is the best in the business. You can follow him at The Athletic. His mock drafts are gospel. We appreciate him stopping by. Have a good one. Bye.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.